بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, today we'll conclude what remained of Surah Al-Balad that we didn't have a chance to finish off in last lesson. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll see how far we can go with that bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And I remember the last thing we stopped at was explained what Al-Aqaba is, and we got to right at the end of what Al-Aqaba was. And so, just to refresh on this, we mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He complained of the human being, of Al-Insan, because the ayah said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ, that we created the human being in toil, in hardship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He complained of that human being, that why didn't he get himself involved in Al-Aqaba? So He said, فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةَ. In other words, هَلَّقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةَ. It's a question. Why didn't the human being involve himself in Al-Aqaba, which is the steeper mountain to climb? And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained what Al-Aqaba was. So He said, فَكُّ رَقَبَةَ, which is freeing a slave. And Ikrima rahimahullah ta'ala, one of his opinions was that it means freeing yourself from the slavery of sins by means of making tawbah. So it could mean freeing the slave, the actual slave that is held captive, or it could either mean you free yourself from the slavery of sins by means of tawbah. And this was the first part of Al-Aqaba. The second thing of Al-Aqaba is feeding. Feeding in a day that is known as, or a day of widespread hunger. Feeding an orphan that possesses closeness to you, yateeman dha matraba, or feeding a miskeen, which is a needy person, dha matraba, in misery because of his poverty. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is where we came to, we'll explain this ayah in detail. Then He said, ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Then he, that person that committed himself to Al-Aqaba, he was of those who believed. He was of one of those who believed. Some of the ulama said that ثُمَّ كَانَ, this word ثُمَّ, it actually has the meaning of wow. So, وَكَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. In other words, it translates, and on top of all this, on top of himself committing himself to Al-Aqaba, on top of all of it, he was of one of those who believed. So in other words, when we read ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, we don't understand from it, then after he believed. This man was a believer all along. As he involved himself in Al-Aqaba and was doing humanitarian work, he was all along a believer. So then Allah Azza wa Jal delayed it to the end so He can highlight its importance. And so the fact he was a believer, the fact it was delayed all the way at the end, when Allah said, فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةَ, then He began to explain what Al-Aqaba is. He didn't say the first thing of Al-Aqaba is that he's a believer. He put it right at the end. The first thing was that he frees a slave, then he feeds on a day of widespread hunger, he feeds an orphan, he feeds a needy person. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, and on top of all this, he was a believer. Allah Azza wa Jal puts it at the end, He delays it to the end, of course, to highlight its importance, and that none of your good deeds will benefit you without Iman. So in order for righteous good deeds, this person is concerned for the humans. He's doing work, so he's serving the human beings, the community. In order for this righteous good deed that you do, in order for it to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it must be done alongside with Iman. There must have been Iman first. So Allah puts it at the end to highlight its importance. Let me just give you an example how things like are worded. For example, when they say, or if I was to tell you, if you cut the grass and wash the car and tidy the house under the condition that you seek no one's help, I'll reward you. So you see that the statement right at the end is where the focus is. When I say to you, under the condition that you seek no one's help. So you'd think, all right, I'll cut the grass, I'll probably get someone with me, like wash the car, I'll do this, I'll do that. But then when I condition it and I say, without anyone's aid, I'll reward you, then now you understand how important it is that you should be by yourself with no one's aid. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He put amanu, iman at the end, similar to this example. So when you say that al-aqaba is freeing the slaves, feeding the poor, feeding the orphan, under the condition of كان من الذين آمنوا. Okay, so you do those things, but it has to be with iman. And so this is why it's put at the end, so it can highlight its importance. Similarly, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says this in many places of the Qur'an. One of its examples, He says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ See, listen to this example. He says, and whosoever does righteous good actions, whether he's a male or female, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, under the condition that he's a believer, then those people will enter the paradise. So see how iman, He put it right at the end to highlight its importance. And when you state a lot of things and you condition it by a thing, if you want to highlight the importance of the condition, you put it right at the end. That way you grab the listener's attention. You don't say, all right, the condition is you don't seek anyone's help. Now go do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It doesn't give it as much importance. But if I was to say, do this, do this, do this, one second, under the condition that now you listen much more, you pay much more attention, so that's how it's been highlighted. This is why iman is put at the end, not because it's something that is yani to the side, it shouldn't be given regard. Rather, it has so much importance, that's why it was placed right at the end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ كَانَ. The word kana, this, it's a past verb, past tense, kana, was. So this proof in and of itself, that he was a believer all along. That this person that did the good deeds, he was a believer all along. Allah said, ثُمَّ كَانَ, he was. By the way, he was from those who had believed. Now, this is the other wisdom I want you to understand. Why did آمَنُ, the fact that he آمَنُ, he was a believer, why did it come at the end? Is to give us also the understanding that if a kafir, if a disbeliever, did good deeds and then became a believer, what happens to his good deeds? Do they get accepted? Are they recorded for him or they're not? The answer is in the hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And this hadith is narrated by Hakim bin Hazim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once he came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said to him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before I embraced Islam, I used to do good deeds like giving charity, and I used to free the slaves, and I used to maintain family ties. He said, shall I be rewarded for those deeds? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so this is a man who did those good, and he was a kafir, then he accepted Islam. Now he's asking the Messenger, what happens to all that good that I did? Rasulullah ﷺ said to him, أَسْلَمْتَ عَلَى مَا سَلَفَ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ SubhanAllah, he says to him, you became a Muslim with all those good deeds. In other words, you didn't lose their reward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delays the idea of a amanu, of a believer, to the end, also to give this understanding, that if someone فَكَّ رَقَبَهُ, he freed the slave, and he did the good, and he fed the orphan, and he fed the needy. And then he became a Muslim. ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Then he embraced Islam. What happens? Allah Azza wa Jal places it at the end to give the understanding that even though, as long as he accepts Islam, the good of his, the good deeds that he did, that won't be erased. That's actually counted, that's accepted. And this is the majority of opinion among the ulama. وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمُ for this hadith. Okay, so Allah Azza wa Jal, now He didn't say ثُمَّ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا. There's another importance here. Allah didn't say then He was a believer. Allah said ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He was among those who believed. But there's a difference. مُؤْمِنًا is a singular. مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, it makes it a plural. So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, meaning that you're not alone in this. You're not by yourself. You'll find company. And you'll find other believers. And once you find them, because he's saying, ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ, he became from among those who believed. So in other words, we're being taught that there are believers around you. And you need to sort of find where they are and start working together. So once you commit yourself to Iman, once you have this belief in your heart, you should start looking around you to see who's doing the same work as you, who's concerned for humans. You look for them. Once you find them, what should you do? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ. The very awesome words here, especially why these two come, I'll explain to you why. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So now you found yourself the company. And you're not the only one that's, for example, sending donations overseas or helping the orphan, you're feeding the poor and clothing the orphan. You're not the only one. There's many others around you. When you find them, what should you do with each other? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Must advise, must motivate, must encourage one another to do what? بِالصَّبْرِ. To be patient. And sabr actually, it means patience, and it means consistency and constancy and commitment. Is what sabr is, four things. It's not just patience. So sabr, when we say sabr, it means the patience that one has, and then it means consistency. A meaning of sabr is that you're consistent on a thing. So it doesn't mean that you feed an orphan once and you move on, and that's it, you never know the orphans again. Or you feed a needy person once in your lifetime and that's it, I got nothing to do with it. But also with sabr, one of the meaning of sabr is consistency. You're always consistent in doing what you're doing. Also constancy. What that means is, no matter how difficult or easy the task is, you're consistent. You don't worry about how difficult, how easy it is, you're consistent, you keep doing what you're doing. And commitment, of course, you commit yourself to such a good deed and you move along with it and you never give it up. So this is what you must supposed to encourage one another, motivate one another to patience. And why advise each other to patience? Why? What's the reason? Because the task of climbing the steep path, which is al-aqaba, it's difficult, right? Climbing it is difficult. We said what al-aqaba is. فَكُّ رَقَبَهُ وَطَعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْقَبَهُ يَتِيمًا ذَا مَقْرَبَهُ أَوْ مِسْكِينًا ذَا مَتْرَبَهُ. But climbing it alone is going to be difficult. So when you're with a group, Allah Azza wa Jal says, تَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Among you people, motivate yourself to patience. So that means when you climb, you know, someone is there to tell you, come on, we can do this. You know, let's stay firm on this. Let's keep our project going. Sometimes people, they open a project of good, a charity. And then all of a sudden, they just lose hope and they just close it down and we can't do it anymore. That's not what تَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. That's not consistency. Where's the consistency in that? So you got to continue. As much as it is, one is there to help the other. If you open something by yourself, you're going to find it difficult. Right? Because you didn't take Allah's advice of كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. And see, this is a problem. Sometimes people have an idea. I want to do this kind of charity and I want to do it all by myself. Then there's no barakah in that you do it by yourself. It's a good intention. May Allah reward the people for that intention. But if sooner or later it's going to fail. Why? Because you did not take Allah's subhanahu wa ta'ala's advice in that وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. There must be people together. One that says to you, you know, remain firm upon this. InshaAllah ta'ala will move forward. Let's keep firm on this. InshaAllah there's greater reward for us on the Day of Judgment where He helping out people. This is تَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they also, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ. And they also advise, they encourage, they motivate one another to have rahmah, to have mercy. But not only bil rahmah, he said bil marhama. There's a meme here. At least they call it meme al-mustariya, which means that marhama is more comprehensive than rahmah. Rahmah is mercy. Marhama is absolute universal mercy, right? Mercy which extends to many, to everyone and to everything. This is how you should be. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ. And you know, what is the ultimate mercy in this surah? The ultimate mercy in this surah is that one has Iman in his heart. It is the ultimate mercy. And if you have that Iman in the heart, you will be a concerned person for humanity. You'll become that, right? Because to be in Al-Aqaba, the main condition of it was ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Once you have the Iman inside, it now becomes easier for you to have concern for other human beings. and to look around for other human beings. And subhanAllah, that was the case of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, seeing his time, how he used to go around to see where the poor are is. He used to go and give them food. He used to look after them because of the iman in the heart. Once there's full iman in the heart, there becomes that deep concern for humanity. You know, subhanAllah, even in the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, great Khalifa of Islam, in his time, he was that concerned. He's a Khalifa of the Muslims. He was concerned for the humans, so much so that he would, when he gets the sadaqat, he'd give them out away, right? So one year, when the sadaqat were gathered with him, he gave it to the people that he's got with him, his workers, and he said, go and give it out to the poor as usual. So they go around the city, they go around the town, around the communities, around the cities and so on, and they give everyone what they need. And then they come back to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and they say to him, Ya Khalifa al-Mu'mineen, we gave everything and we still have this much left. We still have money left. What do we do with it? For subhanAllah, what did he say? He said, go and feed the birds with it, so it can be said one day that in the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, even the birds didn't die from hunger. And so they went and purchased seeds and gave to the birds, and the bird was fed from sadaqat, from Abwan al-Muslimin. Right? So once the iman is really settled inside, there becomes this real concern for humanity, something really serious. So this is the ultimate mercy in the surah, to have this iman in the heart. And you know, the decent human being that listens to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon people involving themselves in al-aqaba, being concerned for humans, his concern, his concern for the health and the happiness of other people, it builds, it gets stronger. And what's the ultimate happiness for people? What is the ultimate happiness? You know, for example, look, listen to this. You'll feed someone today, some poor person, you'll feed him today. You'll feed him tomorrow. You take care of him today, you take care of him tomorrow. But what if he still ended up in the hellfire? What if he became from Ashabul Mash'ama, and these people will be mentioned right at the end of this surah? That means you weren't, there was no mercy enough inside of you. The real marhama is to take care of the needy, of the needs of the needy and the orphan today and tomorrow. Right? For a day when they will say, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. That's the concern. That's the real concern you should have for the human. So that means you also feed him for that day. And this is the marhama in itself. It's not enough that I feed him now, feed him tomorrow, take care of him, and I don't take care and look at his afterlife. A real concerned human being, someone who really implements marhama, will have the concern not only of feeding you for what makes you live today, but also feeding you for what gives you happiness in the hereafter. And so this is the concern. And some of the brothers, Zawmullah Khair, there are groups that go out to take care of the homeless, to take care of the needy, to take care of the orphan. That's all good. But that's just the rahmah if it's not coupled with being concerned of their hereafter affairs. That will be marhamah, right? And I'm sure most of the brothers that do this, alhamdulillah, they do engage in some sort of da'wah that they give these people and so on. But once that happens, then that is a true person and that is a true group that have committed themselves to advising and motivating and encouraging one another to al-marhamah, which is this ultimate mercy one should have. Okay, so having the iman means that you have the ultimate mercy for mankind, just the same way the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them had this concern for their people and for their groups, and they felt saddened that their people did not accept the message, right? So this is exactly what al-marhamah is. Now this surah, subhanAllah, is built upon these two words. You know, this is incredible. I just want you to relax and listen to this as I give you it one by one from the beginning of the surah to the end. This surah mentioned these two words. Sabr, is sabr, wa tawasaw bil marhamah. Two words. The whole surah from the beginning to the end is built upon these two words. Let's see, from the very beginning of the surah, when Allah says, لا أقسم بهذا البلد. البلد is referring to what? To the city of Mecca. When someone goes to the city of Mecca, obviously nowadays, what do we go for? Hajj or Umrah? When you go for Hajj or Umrah, the first advice you get, you said, Ya Akhi, be patient. You need patience over there. You need patience in terms of the weather, in terms of the environment, the society, the hardships, the actions you're going to there. Everything needs patience there, right? So the surah brought the word bis-sabr, especially first thing when you look at al-balad, al-balad needs sabr. You move on to the next ayah, wa anta hillum bihadha al-balad. One of the meanings of that ayah, if you can remember, we said wa anta hill, Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you have become halal in this city. In other words, your blood has become halal in the city. Quraysh are planning to kill you and run your blood in this city. So wa anta hill, you've become halal in the city. And of course the city for Quraysh was something sacred. They wouldn't even slaughter an animal inside it. But now they're going against their own laws and rules, which shows you how pathetic these people were. And this is a tradition that the disbelievers follow from day one until now. They set their own laws and they go against it whenever they like it, or whenever the force of Islam is too heavy, they go against it just to get rid of Islam, then they'll return back their law. So anyway, this is what's happening in Mecca. So when that happened, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Mecca, he was in Mecca, there was no jihad at that time. So he has to have sabr. He had to deal with this situation with sabr. And his sabr was that, let's just get out of Mecca and go to Medina. That was the sabr. So the word balad requires sabr when you go there. This ayah about the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it required of him sabr. Then the next ayah after, وَوَالِدٍ وَمَا وَلَدْ, Allah Azza wa Jal said, and by the father and what he fathers. Now you know, what he fathers, that means, it's the idea of raising children. And raising children, but it requires patience. It requires patience, raising the children. So walidin wa ma walad, that's an ayah that alluded to patience. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created the human being in hardship, right? In labor, in toiling labor. And that itself requires patience. In order for you to graduate from stage to stage, it requires patience of you. Stage of studying, finishing your studies, then moving to university, then moving to your work, then getting married, then earning the wealth, then raising a family, then one after the other in order to graduate and move on. You must be patient, right? You must be patient. So, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ, this ayah also referred to patience. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla spoke about وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, we guided him to the two elevated paths. And one of the paths, if it's the one of them that leads to the paradise, of course that requires patience. Well, you don't get the paradise for free. You need to be patient in terms of your worship and your actions and so on until you get there. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, he spoke about Al-Aqaba. We said Al-Aqaba is the steep path, which no doubt deserves, and it requires much patience of you. And then to free the slave, and to feed the poor, and to feed the orphan and the needy, and remain consistent on this also requires patience. ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and to remain steadfast upon iman also requires patience, that you remain patient upon your ibadah, and you remain patient from staying away from the haram. So you find that the whole surah from the beginning to the end is all about this word sabr. This is why it comes at the end, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. Also the other one, وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْمَرْحَمَ. You find also, from the very beginning it requires marhama. So when you speak about the balad, I'm sure those that have been to Mecca and performed Hajj and Umrah, I am most definite that you've taken out some riyals from your pocket and giving it to someone. Either the cleaners, the workers, someone that looks poor, someone, you've given it. Why? Because this instinct of rahmah already comes out from you once you're there. You find the need to do extra good deeds. And you find the need to be patient and to be merciful towards others. So al-balad, the word al-balad, it gave the idea that you have to be patient when you get there. Also you become merciful when you get there, as opposed to when you're in your country. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدْ. The other meaning of it, what was the other meaning? That hil means muqim, resident. So this ayah, in the other opinion, it was a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal to his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it's alright, leave Mecca now, because it's a Meccan surah. Leave Mecca now, and I promise you that you'll become a resident once again. So he promised him victory, and that once again Mecca will be your residence, and you'll go back. وَأَنْتَ حِنٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ. Now, when Rasulullah ﷺ returned to Mecca, that was when? Fatah Mecca. When he conquered Mecca. When that happened, and he had all Quraysh in front of him, what did he say to them? He said, الْيَوْمُ يَوْمُ الْمَرْحَمَةِ. He said, today is the day of ultimate mercy. And so we know what he did with them. He said to them, اِذْهَبُوا فَأَنْتُمُ الطُّلَقَاءِ. Go, يعني لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. No punishment upon you. Go, you are free. He let him go. What's that? That's from his mercy, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even وَأَنْتَ حِلٌّ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ, in its next meaning, in its this meaning that I just shared, had this idea of rahmah, marhamah. وَوَالِدٍ وَمَا وَلَدْ. The father and what he fathers. You know, the father and the son, the relationship between them is what? A merciful relationship. A relationship that carries a lot of mercy, a lot of compassion, a lot of care. Right? A lot of compassion. That's the relationship between the walid and the walad. So there we go. We find its relevance again in this. And then, when we speak about the slavery, a slave requires someone to have mercy upon him. Right? Especially when he's freed, he deserves someone that acts merciful towards him because of the suffering and the torture he's already experienced in his life. So what he needs right now is someone to have mercy towards him. The orphan needs mercy towards him. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be merciful to the orphan. If he saw an orphan, he'd pat his head. Right? This is out of his mercy towards him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The needy, they also need mercy. That you come, you feed them. If they come, you feed them with your own hand. You take care of them, you clothe them, you wash them. If they need this, what else? This is marhamah towards the needy people. And then the believers, ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا, the believers, one among each other, need mercy as well. In order for the ummah to continue being one strong jama'ah and move forward, they need mercy among each other. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. They must have mercy among one another. Okay, and this is how he described the Sahaba as being. They were merciful towards one another. For subhanAllah. See, from the beginning of the surah to the end of it, when Allah brought these two words, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ, we know that they weren't just placed there like this. Each and every single ayah deserved these two things. Such a beautiful surah, subhanAllah. This is why in surah Al-Asr is different. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Two other different things. صَبْر and تَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ and تَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And this becomes a whole different concept once it's there. In this surah, it was وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ first, then مَرْحَمَةً. Over there, it was حَقْ first, then صَبْر at the end. Why? Because patience by itself is nothing. Patience by itself is nothing. So he said bilhaq first, that they advise and encourage one another to remain upon the truth. Once they have the truth, now remain patient over that. So patience came at the end, after sabr. Because patience, if patience was mentioned at the beginning, what's the use of patience? Patient to what? So he mentions haq first, then hold on to the truth. Once you find it, have sabr with it. And keep it carried until you die, until you meet Allah Azza wa Jalla. And al-haq was mentioned in that surah because Allah Azza wa Jalla spoke about the fact that the human being is in loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. And if you're in loss, what do you have to seek? Well, you're in loss. يعني if you keep going that path, you're finished. You're finished. So you need to search for the truth. So he said وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ first. Right? Then, once you find the truth, grasp onto it, hold onto it, remain patient. So we find why Allah mentioned al-haq and sabr in Surah Al-Asr, and why He mentioned sabr and marhamah here. So this is the two difference. طيب. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ. He repeated the verb twice. He didn't say, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالْمَرْحَمَةِ. And they encouraged and advised one another in sabr, to patience, and mercy. He didn't say this. He said they encouraged and advised one another to patience And they encouraged and advised one another to mercy. He repeated that verb, tawas or twice. And this is simply to highlight يعني, the importance of helping one another. Right? The importance of helping another, that's the verb that was highlighted. Okay, so then he said, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ It is those people, it is those who commit themselves to Al-Aqaba. Al-Aqaba is now from the very beginning. It's freeing the slave, taking care of the orphan, of the needy, being a believer as a condition to all this, encouraging one another in patience, and encouraging one another to mercy. Those people that are true to that, Ashabul Maymana, they are the companions of the far, far right. Allah didn't say Ulaika Ashabul Yameen, they are the people of the right. He said Al-Maymana. Just like Rahmah is mercy, Marhamah is a longer word, therefore it means ultimate, absolute, awesome mercy. And Yameen means right. Maymana means to the far, far right. Also, the other reason why Allah Azza wa Jal says Al-Maymana, not Al-Yameen, because Ashabul Yameen will only give one definition. Ashabul Yameen means the people of the right, that's it. Ashabul Maymana, it has multiple definitions. So it just doesn't mean one thing, it means more than one thing. It means the people of the far right. That means the people of Su'ada, the happy people, ones that will attain happiness on the Day of Judgment. That's one meaning of Maymana. The other meaning of Maymana, it means they are the people that receive and they're given their books in their right hand. And so after they receive the book in the right hand, they go to the paradise. That's Maymana as well. People of Maymana as well comes from the word Yumn. Yumnun, right? Which means happiness, brightness. These are people of hope. And their hope to themselves and to the others. That's Ashabul Maymana. These are true people of Ashabul Maymana. So we saw that how the word Maymana, it was much more much more comprehensive as opposed to the word Yameen. Therefore, this is why it was used. Why? Because these people committed themselves to some serious acts of good deeds. So Allah Azza wa Jal made them of Maymana. You don't just deserve Yameen, you people deserve Maymana. I'll give you 1, 2, 3, and 4, a word that carries multiple meaning, not just one thing. Because they carried out multiple good deeds, Allah rewarded them with multiple goodness. Maymana. Opposite to these people, this is concluding the surah, opposite to Alladhina Amanu is, Allah Azza wa Jal now says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا هُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ He says, those who kafaru, those who deny, who disbelieve in our ayat. The ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are two types. This ayat shar'iyyah, ayat kawniyyah. Ayat shar'iyyah, this would contain basically Allah Azza wa Jal's words, يعني the Qur'an. It also carries the prophets, the miracles of the prophets. These are ayat shar'iyyah. The prophet himself is an ayat shar'iyyah. Then there's ayat kawniyyah, miraculous signs, يعني the creation basically. So ayat kawniyyah is like the sky, the earth, the stars, the oceans, the stones and so on. These are ayah, the human being himself, that's an ayah kawniyyah. So now the kuffar, when Allah says, kafaru bi ayatina, they denied, they disbelieved in our ayat. Which ayat is he referring to? Most would say ayat shar'iyyah. But the right answer is both. Well, I'll tell you why, how both. They did disbelieve in ayat shar'iyyah, the miraculous, the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jal from the Qur'an and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they disbelieved in that. They also disbelieved in the ayat kawniyyah, the ayat, the miraculous signs, the creation of Allah, they disbelieved in that. What does that mean? Because the purpose of Allah's creation is to point you to the oneness of Allah. What's the purpose of it? When Allah creates what He creates, it's for you to ponder, look over it and say, that means Allah is one. So when you see the plant coming out, you don't just think of a plant coming out of the earth. You think, that's me. Later on, I'll be inside of the earth and I'll come out. Therefore, if you just pondered over that fact, the plant coming out of the earth should lead you to the belief of one Allah, to the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you see the baby coming out of the mother, that should make you believe in the oneness of Allah. Why? Because you think that, wallah, the sperm cell that is a dead cell, it has no ruh in it, it went inside of the womb of the mother, and it came out with a ruh, it came out alive. Similarly, I will go into the earth dead and I'll come out alive as well. Which one's more difficult? You coming out the first time or the second? Of course the first time is much more difficult because that's when everything is being processed. Your eye color, your ear color, your head color, what your color is, your skin, how it'll look, and your gender, what it is, and what you're going to have, and what you're going to eat, who you're going to get married to, what kids you have. All this, faqaddara, is happening when you're a sperm. So when you see the baby come out, you say, subhanAllah, it was dead, and it came out alive. So this, when you look at this, that should lead you to belief in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, to say to yourself that this is much more difficult. If I die and put inside, all the information is in that bone anyway. It's just the drop of water and it should come out. Right? So everything around you points to the existence of Allah. So if a kafir still hasn't accepted the oneness of Allah, that means he disbelieved in the ayat of Allah, the Quran and the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he disbelieved in the creation. Because the ultimate purpose of the creation was to lead you to the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. So وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, those who disbelieved in our miraculous signs, Allah says, هُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ, they and only them are أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ, are the people on the far left. Mash'ama comes from the word sha'ama. Sha'ama means to be wretched, evil, to be an evil person. Allah is saying those people are the evil ones. And he said, hum ashabul mash'ama. The word hum is important to understand. In the ayah before it, he said, thumma kana min alladhina amanu wa tawasaw bis-sabri wa tawasaw bil-marhama. He said, ulaika ashabul maymana. He didn't say, ulaika hum ashabul maymana. There was no hum. Ulaika ashabul. But to the kuffar, he said, hum ashabul mash'ama. When you say hum, that means you're making exclusivity. In other words, you're saying only them and no one but them. Only them and no one but them. So the word hum gives a hope that there's other than them who are not from ashabul mash'ama, they are from ashabul maymana. But those specific, hum, ashabul mash'ama, they're the ones to the far left. Now Allah didn't say ulaika ashabu shimal, they're the people of the left. Like he didn't say yameen, he didn't say shimal, he said maymana, he said mash'ama here as well. And mash'ama, shimal only means left. Mash'ama, it's also like maymana, it's comprehensive in its meaning, it carries out more than one meaning. So what does that mean? So the first one of them is that they are people of the far, far left. And they are al-ashiqa, which means that they're the sad and they're the worried people on the Day of Judgment. Also, it means that they are the people which will take their book in their left hand and later on be driven to the hellfire. And they are the people of evil, and they commit evil upon themselves and upon others in this life and in the hereafter. That's how evil they are, that even to others they don't want good. And we identified this in the previous surah, Surah Al-Fajr, when Allah Azza wa Jal describe Kuffar Quraysh, وَلَا تَحَابُونَ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. You don't encourage one another to feed the needy. Now alright, yourself don't feed, but tell others to feed at least. No, he denied himself from the good, and he denied others from the good as well. Right? And even when it comes to the idea of belief, Allah says, وَهُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ وَيَنْأَوْنَ عَنْهُ. When it came to the Qur'an, Allah described them as saying that هُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ, they would forbid the people from reading it and accepting it. وَيَنْأَوْنَ عَدْ, and they themselves forbid that upon themselves, and they did not read it themselves. So there's double trouble, right? Not only يعني, the evilness upon themselves, but to the others. That is one of the meaning of mash'amah. That the evil doesn't stop to you, it also goes and transgresses and you take it towards others. So, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal concludes the surah and he says, عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ مُؤْصَدَةٌ. Upon them, this is a very nice ayah. He says, upon them is a fire that has been sealed. It is mu'sadah, that has been sealed. And subhanAllah's very amazing balance in the surah. When Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the people of the right hand, he did not mention paradise. He didn't. He just said, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ. That's it, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُ. But when he spoke about the people of the left hand, He mentioned the hellfire. عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ مُؤْصَدًا. He mentioned the hellfire. Why? Why? So why did he mention nothing of the paradise? This is why. The ulama, they gave a principle that each and every single surah has a climate. There's a theme in the surah. And so this surah, its climate is toughness. Its theme is toughness. So already at the beginning it begins لا. أُقْسِمُ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ. لَا is a tough word. And then you have the word كَبَد, hardship, labor. It's hard, it's difficult. And then you have النَّجْدَيْن, the elevated paths. And then you have العقبة, which is even the steeper path. So the surah in its entirety, it has this climate of toughness, of roughness. And because that's the case, the hellfire is what? Is something of toughness and roughness as well. Therefore, it was given more detail. Because the climate of the surah befits that you describe the hellfire and mention the hellfire. Since the whole thing is about toughness and roughness, might as well just add it in there. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he gave detail, extra detail of the hellfire, and he didn't give extra detail of the paradise, because that's not the climate of the surah. When the surah, for example, Surah Al-Fajr before it, one of the climates of it was this, yani serenity inside of it, this peace, it was called Surah Al-Fajr. So then he elaborated about the people of the paradise in the previous surah. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ ارْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Much more detail of the paradise in the previous surah. In this surah, nothing mentioned of the paradise, because the surah itself, from the beginning it had a tough start, and at the end it had a also rough ending as well with the word نَارٌ مُؤْصَدًا. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ مُؤْصَدًا. Now in Arabic, what we were expecting is نَارٌ مُؤْصَدَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. But the noun would come first, and the pronoun would be right at the end. نَارٌ مُؤْصَدَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. That makes sense. But Allah Azza wa Jal switched the order. He said, عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ مُؤْصَدَةٌ. When you say عَلَيْهِمْ, what that creates, it implies exclusivity. In other words, especially upon them. Especially upon them will be a fire that is sealed. So there's a difference between saying a fire will be sealed upon them and saying especially upon them a fire that is sealed. That has much more emphasis on who are those that will have the fire sealed upon them. So he mentioned Ali. نَارٌ مُؤْصَدَةٌ, a fire that has been sealed. The word مُؤْصَدَةٌ, it means to seal something on top of another thing. To really seal it and make it really tight. For example, they say أَوْصَدْتُ الْقِدْرِ. أَوْصَدْتُ الْقِدْرِ basically means that you got the lid and you close the cooking pot. You put it on the cooking pot, the lid. That's you say أَوْصَدْتُ الْقِدْرِ. You do that so the steam obviously can't escape, right? Because if you're cooking rice or something, it's not good that you keep the lid open. You close the cooking pot so that the steam remains inside, therefore the rice will cook. You must close it. So مُؤْصَدَة means to close something, to close it and keep it tight. عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ مُؤْصَدَةٌ, upon them it is fire whose heat doesn't escape because it's sealed. So now Allah Azza wa Jalla, see how He describes the hellfire. He says that it's مُؤْصَدَةٌ. And you know the word أَوْصَدَةٌ, although it means to close something, there's another word in Arabic that means close. What is it? No, another Arabic word. Now, أغلق, أغلق. What's the difference? I say أغلقت الباب, أوصدت الباب. What's the difference? أغلقت الباب means I closed the door, but it means that there is some sort of escape somewhere. But if I say أوصدت الباب, that means I've closed it and there is no escape. There's the difference. أغلقت means there's a possibility of escaping. But أوصدت means there is absolutely no possibility of escaping. So Allah used that for the hellfire. So now, نَارٌ مُؤْصَدَةٌ illustrates this, that the hellfire, they're inside. It's sealed, and it's مُؤْصَدَةٌ. So there is no escape. It's dark inside. Whatever you close, it becomes dark inside. The punishment intensifies, right? If you close the pot and the steam is inside, they tell you never open it, put your face on top of it, it'll burn it. Because the temperature is building inside of it. So this is what's going on in Jahannam. Inside, there's no escape. It's dark inside, and the punishment is intensifying day after day, right? And this is what Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is how He describes the hellfire. Zidnahum adhaban fawqa al-adhab. We increased upon them punishment after punishment. Zidnahum, and we increased the punishment. For subhanAllah, this is, yani we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to keep us away from the hellfire. And this is actually a quality that Allah Azza wa Jalla praised from the believers. The fact that they make this dua, رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ. You know, subhanAllah, the Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions 10 categories, 10 qualities that belong to 10 different people, that He loves these people, He called them Ibadur Rahman. I've given you this lesson a long time ago, but just to reiterate on this point, one of the qualities of a people that Allah loves is simply they just make a dua. That's all. He loves them because they make this dua. What is it? رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ. Oh Allah, rid us from the punishment of the fire. We don't want nothing to do with the fire. And Allah loved them because of this dua that they make consistently, because يَقُولُونَ, present tense. In other words, they make it consistently. Right? This is a group that Allah loved. And why He loved? Why did He love them? Because they understood how horrible the hellfire is. That's why they began to make this dua. They recognized that there is something serious here. Now when you read these ayat and read much before about what we've shared before, this ayah alayhim narun mu'sada, just this word narun mu'sada is enough to terrify you from the hellfire. But you need anything else. Imagine add more ayat on top of this and what we've already explained before in Juz'a Amma. Put them all together, what do you get? You get this really, really fear and terror from the hellfire. It should lead you to become of those people who say, رَبَّنَا اصْرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمَ. Right, subhanAllah. Even those people, when they make that, they make the dua, they say, إِنَّهَا سَاءَتْ مُسْتَقَرًّا وَمُقَامًا. They say, oh Allah, what a horrible place it is to be in there temporarily or to be there permanently. Right? Yani even a second being in there is you can't bear it. 1 second, you can't bear it. So Allah loved these people because they made this dua, and they only made this dua after realizing how severe Allah's punishment is. Ya Allah, we don't want nothing to do with it at all. Isrif anna adhaba jahannam. Okay. This concludes the surah. Let me just share with you a few more things. That is, sometimes, of course, that this ayah is repeated against the Surah Al-Humaza. Right? And Surah Al-Humaza, there's one more ayah after it. What is it? Fi amadin mumaddada. Let me just explain to you why there's an additional, there's one more ayah after, and why here there's nothing. So here it's alayhim narun mu'sada. That's it. The surah ends. In Surah Al-Humaza, there's وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةُ نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوقَدَةُ الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ إِنَّا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةٌ فِي عَمَدٍ مُمَدَّدَةٍ. Really scary description of the hellfire over there. لَيَوْمَ ذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. Allah calls it the crusher. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةُ. Then He describes a bit of the hellfire. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوقَدَةُ الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ إِنَّا عَلَيْهِمْ مُؤْصَدَةٌ. Again, the same ayah. And then there He says, fi amadin mumaddada. Basically, fi amadin mumaddada means that they will be in pillars that are stretched out. And that's, it even intensifies it. Once we get there, we'll explain it. But just briefly, fi amadin mumaddada means that they are in the hellfire, and it's sealed upon them, and the heat is intensifying inside. And above all this, they're inside pillars. They're inside a pillar. Like, for example, when they're going through for that chemotherapy, they go inside of that, what's the machine called? MRI, sir. Yes. That when they go inside of that machine, how it's circled and you're inside, that's similar to fi amadin mumaddada. They're inside of stretched pillars, and of course it's tight upon them, and that's how they're punished and thrown in the hellfire. Imagine if you're inside something, it gets hot in there, above the heat inside, and it's sealed even more heat. And what kind of, subhanAllah, don't think of it that you're roaming around in the hellfire, running around. You're inside these pillars. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He concluded that surah with that extra description. He didn't bring it in the surah. Why? I'll tell you why. Because here, the only crime He mentioned for the kafir was what? كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِهِ. they disbelieved in the ayat of Allah. So he mentioned one crime here, and then he mentioned only one form of the punishment. Narun Muqsara, that's it. One crime, one punishment. In Surah Al-Humazah, Allah mentioned multiple crimes of the person. So he mentioned at the beginning, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ, the crime of slandering, the crime of backbiting. Then, الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَهُ, the crime of gathering wealth and counting it. Then the crime of يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ, he assumed that his wealth will make him live forever. Look how many crimes there is in that surah. Therefore, there was more description of the hellfire. So he gave him al-hutama, وَمَا أَدْرَكَ بَالْحُطَمَةَ. By the way, it's very interesting that al-hutama comes there. Hutama means the crusher. I'll leave it for that surah, inshallah, when we get there. But more description of the hellfire was given because more crime was mentioned. In this surah, one crime, just one description of the hellfire. Now the surah and the surah ends. And before we conclude, let's just mention the beginning and the ending of the surah, what connects them together. Very beautifully, Daktur Fadl al-Samurai. Daktur Fadl al-Samurai is a great scholar in tafsir. He has a lot of efforts and a lot of work in tafsir. May Allah Azza wa Jalla preserve him. He's now at the age of 90, 92. MashaAllah, his work is incredible when it comes to the Quran. And so he had efforts in connecting the surah from the beginning to the end, and the end of the surah to the beginning of the one that follows. And so he said here, I will share one of his words. He said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. The surah began with لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created man in toil, in hardship. And this hardship is for this dunya. This hardship is for the... Now you're living kabad right now. It's for this dunya. And if the human being doesn't do the right thing, there will be a far worse kabad later on. And that is in the next life, and that's why the surah ended عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ مُقْصَرَةٌ. Wow, what an awesome ending. And an awesome connection to the surah. So Allah is saying, there's the kabad. You're all created in kabad. You all go through hardship. Everyone is going through hardship. You'll get sick, you'll get better. You'll move on from this stage to this stage. You'll work, you'll get up, you'll wake, you'll sleep. Yani there's hardship after hardship. But if you don't do the right thing, so everyone's in hardship, whether there's a kafir or whether there's a believer. Some of the kuffar maybe think that, Allah, we're not in hardship, we're freedom. There's no freedom. The insan is always in hardship. That's a fact. And the believer's also in hardship. Right? But the believer, at least he has the relaxation of the heart, he has the tranquility that Allah gives him. There's a special gift that Allah only bestows upon the believer. But anyway, all is in hardship. So if you do not do the right thing in the hardship, you will face an even worse hardship over there, and that is, and now we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us safe from the hellfire. We ask Allah azza wa jal to make us people of the Quran, people who benefit from the reminders of the Quran. إنه ولي ذلك وقادر عليه وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.